an American public school. Richard Clark, a pudgy, chinless man, ambles down the stairs, greeting the smartly dressed students as they pass by.
Mr. Andrews, Mr. Kudrow, Mr. Fairchild. Morning. Ah, Mr. Jensen, didn't see you at the history club meeting.
That was the idea.
Mr. Edwards, how'd the castration go on that polo pony?
Yeah, you're next, pal.
Nice tie, Teach. Clip on.
Daddy's boy.
Bite me!
He goes to his pigeonhole.
Wellington Academy, are you white? Hold, please. I'll put you right through.
Oh.
He takes out a letter and rips it open.
Wellington Academy, are you white? Hold, please. I'll put you right through.
A teaching position has recently become available.
Mr. Clark, your father's waiting for you.
In the corridor, a student slaps a piece of paper on Richard's back.
How you doing, Mr. Clark?
Looking good.
Thank you, Mr. Cutstar. I'm fine.
Good.
Richard enters a room where distinguished-looking men and women sit around a long table.
There he is, the man of the hour!
They all rise from their seats.
Well, son, don't just stand there. Come join us. For a moment, I didn't think you were going to make it.
Listen, Father, I really need to talk to you.
Plenty of time for that, son. Sit down. I have something to tell you.
I just need to sit down,
Richard, and smoke.
But, Father,
you're... Now, everyone smokes a pipe here. I do it. Your grandfather did it. Even the Indians smoked on this land before they traded it away for some chickens and a pound of jewelry.
But, Father, I hate...
Suck. Son, it gives me great pleasure to announce that we're promoting you to assistant vice chairman of the history department.
Ash flies everywhere.
Father, that's why we have to talk.
Yes, there's lots to talk about. You'll need a telephone, and we'll move you from the basement...
Father, for once in your life, will you just listen to me?
The teaspoons jump up and all land in the glasses.
Look, I've taken a job at Berry High School.
For the moment, I will assume that you have found a sense of humor and are joking.
I'm not joking.
Richard, if you do this, you will fail. You will fail. And mark my words, you'll come crawling back here with your tail between your legs.
You're wrong, Father. I'm going to succeed at Berry High School. And I have no intention of ever crawling back here with anything between my legs.
His father looks horrified. Richard hesitates, then turns to leave. The sign on his back reads, "Blow me." The assembly is open-mouthed in shock. Now Richard drives through leafy suburbia.
Such a feeling's coming over me. There is wonder in most everything I see.
His number plate, Heart to Teach. Richard drives along with a goofy grin on his face, drumming the wheel and dashboard happily to the music. Soon he enters a more built-up area.
Top of the world, looking down on creation.
He sees two scruffy youths propping up a sign saying Inner City. Richard frowns and changes the radio station. Pulling a face, he drives on past run-down nothing over a nickel shops and pulls up outside Marion Barry High.
Barry High.
An explosion at a window of the half-demolished school building spews fragments of glass and paper out into the litter-strewn yard. Richard shudders, then smiles and drives on. He draws up beside two rough-looking homeboys, one with shades and a dummy in his mouth, the other with a ghetto blaster on his shoulder.
Hey, could you point me to the faculty parking lot?
One points.
Thanks a lot.
Despite a sign saying stop, wrong way, severe tire damage, Richard drives over the spiked barrier and blows his tires. Students loaf around the dusty car park. One sprays on the back of Richard's car, others cover the school walls with graffiti. There are signs next to allocated parking spaces. Student, SWAT, National Guard, Johnny Cochran. Richard pulls up and gapes open-mouthed at students with bizarre haircuts wandering by. One throws in the finger, and another draws his finger across his throat. Richard replies with a friendly peace sign and a cheery wave. Some students chain their bikes to a railing, and another chains his car to a post. Richard parks and puts a steering lock on. He climbs out of his car, trying to stuff his lunch into his briefcase. He spots a car sticker on a bumper. proud parents of D. Average. He looks over his shoulder and double takes, realizing that his car has disappeared from under his nose. He looks around frantically and throws his hands in the air in exasperation.
Where?
All that's left of the briefcase is the handle in his hand and his packed lunch on the ground, which he goes to pick up. A motorbike thunders over it and roars away through the dust. Richard gazes up at a statue of Marion Barry carrying a flag. Mischievous students take away the statue's flag, replace it with a bong and a lighter, and pop a hat on his head. Inside the school entrance, security guards search the students as they file in and confiscate their weapons. Guns, knives, axes, chains, hammers, wrenches. A drain pipe.
What is it?
He takes Richard's briefcase handle. Richard wanders along the chaotic school corridor. One student has miniature cars racing around the tracks of his haircut. Richard frowns in bemusement. A student tries to sell him a watch.
Brother, 24 carats, $24.
Oh, no thank you, I already have a watch.
His watch is missing.
Hey, brother, 24 carats, $24.
Richard spots a map on the wall.
Malik Abdul, please come to the office. One of your fathers is here.
A young black man enters, and the crowd clears around him. Richard leans over to a boy in dark glasses beside him.
Who's that?
How the hell should I know?
The boy unfolds a white stick and walks off. Paco, a young Hispanic, leads his posse, with the two homeboys from before, Alonzo and Two Bags, up to the black guy. Paco speaks.
Well, what have we got here? Griff, welcome back, bro.
See, you finally got what you wanted, huh?
It's a nice little business. Keeps us in pocket change.
I knew it was you that set me up, bro.
Well, if it bothers you that much, go ahead. Make your move. Or did that year in juvie soften your cheese? This is my turf now. You show me respect. Me, Paco de la Vega, El Camino Cordova, Jose Cuervo, Sanchez Rodriguez. Junior.
Are we not forgetting a name?
What's that?
Skidmark.
The posse lunges at Griff.
All right, you tops, break it up! Hey, now cut it out! You boys ought to be ashamed of yourselves. School is no place for fighting.
What are you looking for? I'm looking for the rest of your posse that's gonna keep me from ripping you a new asshole.
I will pretend for the moment that you meant that in a nice way. But I am warning you, I'm about to lose my temper. Now I want you boys to shake hands. Go on.
Bemused, they shake hands.
There. See? Now that wasn't so bad, was it?
Huh?
It's always best to shake hands. Unless someone just sneezed into it. What if they have a stump? That could be a little weird. All right, now go on, everybody. Get back to class.
Cross me again, Griffey boy, and even Mr. Rogers here won't be able to save your ass.
Go on. Bye.
Let's go, dogs.
Hi, gentlemen. I believe classes are this way.
They're not in school here anymore.
Why, are you in school here?
Yes.
First day, huh?
No, not really. I was just...
Mine, too. I'm a new teacher here, Mr. Clark. What's your name?
Griff McReynolds.
Oh, nice to meet you, Griff. You know, son, I remember my first day at school.
Hope you live through this one, Chalk.
Condoms are handed out.
Attention, please. Today begins Sexual Awareness Week. Please contact Nurse Johnson in the hall.
Here you go, you little slut.
Excuse me, I'm looking for room 134.
Keep moving. I repeat, keep moving. Pick up that cam. Where are you going? The little girl's room's that way. Hey, take off those bitch. Colors. Yeah, you, lose a cigarette.
The teacher's bat gets stuck in the student's huge hair.
Take a hike, Gumby.
Get rid of the sunglasses.
Excuse me, but this kind of behavior, well, I bet the principal would frown on this sort of thing.
Evelyn Doyle, principal.
Look, Pinhead, I don't know what nursery school you come from, but here you screw up, you die. Every bad kid in the city is dumped into our laps.
Excuse me, Miss Doyle. With all due respect, I don't think there is such a thing as a bad kid. At least they don't start off that way. They just need someone they can relate to. And I can reach them. I know what's deaf, what's whack, what's jam, what's straight up booty.
Mr. Clark, how long have you been teaching here?
I just...
20 minutes. I've been here over 20 years. Don't you question my authority on this.
Excuse me.
She goes. An attractive young woman sidles up to Richard.
Pardon me. Are you having a hard time finding your way around?
Yes, I'm looking for room 134.
Hi, Victoria Chapel.
Richard Clark.
Nice to meet you, Mr. Clark. It's down this way.
What do you teach, Miss Chapel?
I'm Principal Doyle's administrative assistant.
A man in clown makeup.
Drama coach.
Oh.
You did say room 134?
Yep.
Well, this is it. All of our classrooms are in dire need of repair.
Ever since the legislature passed that 3Fs and your outlaw, a lot of schools have closed.
The school board decided it just wasn't worth it. I guess they just gave up on these kids. So we've been squeezed for money ever since. We've been forced to...
Trying to hang his diploma up, he bangs a hole in the wall.
Guess I'll get that later.
Mr. Clark, are you by any chance related to Thaddeus Clark, headmaster at the Wellington School?
Yeah, he's my father.
Every school in the district uses his book as a faculty primer. You know, I don't see the family resemblance.
Well, most people think I take after my mom. Look at this place. Boy, it has great character. Oh, sure, it needs a little paint and plaster.
He puts his foot through the floorboards.
And floorboards.
He pulls his foot out. It's covered in rats.
And pest control. A little elbow grease.
Switching on the light, he gets electrocuted.
Yeah! Jesus! And some new wiring shall be back to shape in no time. Smell those seats. It says, teach me. I want to learn. Oh, you must think I'm a silly idealist.
No, I really admire your dedication. Your wife must be very proud of you.
Well, actually, I'm not married.
I find that surprising.
Well, it's pretty hard to be married if you've never had a steady girlfriend. Well, but I'm much too busy with work to think about much else other than work.
That's very admirable. The last time I heard someone talk like that was old Mr. Riley. He was head of the history department until last semester.
Retired?
If you can call being beaten to death retiring. Coffee?
In the staff room, one teacher mixes a cocktail.
The lounge.
Another teacher walks past in a bulletproof vest.
Going in. Cover me. Good luck in home ec, Lou.
The first teacher comes up and pours a cocktail into Richard's mug.
It's a little early to start drinking, don't you think?
Who stops?
Richard approaches another teacher who's reading the magazine Soldier of Fortune.
Hi, I'm Richard Clark. I'm a new history teacher here.
Mm-hmm.
What department do you teach in?
I don't know. Something up on the third floor.
Richard, I'd like you to meet somebody. This is Bernie Raveling, our athletic director, and...
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Raveling. Oh, letting the mustache grow in, I see.
Richard.
Well, from the looks of the stubble, I'd say it's going to be a beaut. You know, I had one in college myself.
Richard, that's Ms. Wells, the girls' gym teacher.
Richard gulps at the butch lady.
Did I mention how attractive you look, Ms. Wells? That blue sweatsuit really brings out the color of your eyes.
You coming on to me, Pickle Dick?
No, I'd never dream of it.
Oh, not good enough for you?
Well, it's been a real pleasure. Should really fix the lighting in here.
Guards with dogs patrol the rampageous assembly hall.
That means new ID cards.
The multilingual translators shuffle off the stage.
Now, as you know, Mr. Arnott, our assistant principal, is still missing. If you know of his whereabouts or if you have him, contact me immediately. And also, don't forget, in less than 2 months, the state will administer the academic proficiency tests. Anyone planning on going to college is required to take these exams. Oh. Don't forget Career Day on Fridays. The United States Marines and the Michigan Militia will have recruiters here on campus. All right, now, listen up. We have a new teacher. His name is Richard Clark. It's his first day. Give him at least a week before you do something terrible to him. Mr. Clark, do you have anything to say? Now, you all should know...
Actually, yes. I was asked a while back what teaching meant to me. My reward is being able to shape and mold agile young minds like yours. Someday, you will be the world's leaders.
A student carves dye scum onto his arm.
But the important thing is, I see in you the future of America.
You suck! That's enough, miss!
A woman throws him the finger.
She's the school's librarian.
Jeez, talk about low morale.
Richard's class pelt him with chewed up balls of paper. As he turns away from the blackboard, he leaves his shape amid the paper pebble dash.
Settle down.
The students fight and argue. Richard raises a clawed hand to the blackboard. The students cover their ears in agony.
There. That's more like it. I know. I'm the enemy. I'm the grown-up. But darn it, I was a kid once too. And I haven't led a choir boy's life. I got my share of parking tickets.
Whoa.
At a baseball game once, I moved down to the expensive seats. Yeah, I'm not proud of it. Huh? Now, in order to get to know you, I've devised a little system. When I call your name, I would like you to stand up, and then you tell me a little something about yourself. Natalie Thompson. Is there Natalie Thompson here?
I'm here.
What's up, girl?
Why are you late?
Because the bell rang before I got here.
Well...
Griff smirks. Richard ponders.
All right. Well, before you came in, we were just talking about sharing personal information. Perhaps you could tell us something about yourself.
Well, for the last week, I've had a yeast infection. That's extremely...
Not that personal. Just something about what you enjoy doing.
I like writing poetry.
Oh, a poet. I love poetry. Well, perhaps you have a nice one you'd like to share with us.
Okay. Here's one I wrote yesterday. Oh, hopelessness. Unrelenting, blood-drenched, intestine-twisting hopelessness. So thick and mucus-like in a stinking, vomit-filled void. I am but a rancid carcass on the highway. Roadkill for the maggots, floating in shark-filled bile like wildebeest in trails. That's as far as I got. I would have finished, but I couldn't find anything to rhyme with festering drippage.
Well, thank you, Natalie. Is it Anthony Jefferson?
Anthony.
Beg your pardon?
Anthony.
Anthony? Oh, Anthony. Oh, I thought I wrote it down wrong. All right. Well, tell us a little something about yourself, Anthony.
Well, you know, I like chilling with my boys, blazing up a fat blunt, Rizzy's in my mizunky, hitting skins with my old lady, hanging my ass over the line, tagging freeway bridges.
Yeah.
Oh, and I'm down with that poetry shit, too. You want to hear?
Sure.
All right. My benevolence is upset, and so is my pride. That's why I took my bitch for a ride. I'm down with the bros, and I'm up on my shiznit, because I love it when I'm just laid back, chilling with my bitch.
Richard is unimpressed.
Whichever one of them hoes I'm with. I call it love can be a wonderful thing.
Thank you, Anthony. That was quite romantic. Julie Rubels, Miss Rubels?
Oh, that's Mrs. Rubels. See, right after I got out of prison, I met Tito. And that's when little Juan and Maria came along.
She's pregnant with two kids already.
Well, I certainly hope you learned a valuable lesson.
Oh, yes. Basically, as far as vasectomies go, never use the home kit.
Thank you, Julie. Griff McReynolds? Where's Griff? Oh, Griff. Well, we had the pleasure of meeting earlier today. Hey, Griff, let me ask you something. Where do you see yourself in, say, 20 years?
Living in your house, Holmes, with your crack ass buried under the front porch.
A basketball flies past Richard, and chaos ensues again. Victoria walks along the corridor as the class breaks up. Richard's putting out a fire on his desk. Mr. Clark is a homo is scrawled on the board.
Hi.
Oh, hi.
How was your first day?
Not bad, not bad at all. I think I may be reaching them. Say, Victoria, do you think you could give me a ride home? I seem to have misplaced my car.
Oh, don't worry about it. All the teachers lose their cars the first day. Of course I'll give you a ride. That is, if you promise to help me chaperone the welcome back dance tonight.
Really? Oh, I'd love to.
Great. So I'll meet you out in the parking lot in 5 minutes?
Okay.
His legs chained to his desk.
Trip, right?
The students arrive at the welcome back dance. Yo, yo, ladies, what's up? The school hall has become a huge dance floor. At the front, a DJ spins discs on a giant mixing desk shaped like a ghetto blaster. The speakers bulge with the beat.
All right, peep this out, y'all. We're gonna bump it up a little bit like this. Yeah.
Richard approaches him.
Hey, listen, I have a record I want you to play. Don't you think the kids would enjoy a nice song with a melody?
What you got, Holmes?
It is a rare, one-of-a-kind original pressing.
Oh, yeah? All right, man, I'm gonna put it on there for you, all right?
Thanks.
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
The kids stop dancing. Richard jigs happily and walks away. Richard struggles back through the crowd, now dancing again, and peeps over the desk at his record being destroyed.
Yo, man, these jams be kicking, man. You got any more of this funky fresh shit lying around the crib?
Griff approaches Natalie on the dance floor.
Hey.
Hi.
You're in my history class, right? I'm Griff McReynolds.
Natalie Thompson.
That was a pretty nice poem you read in class today, Natalie.
Thanks.
How you think of all that stuff?
I try not to, you know? Is it true you used to run the gang before Paco?
Yeah, but I'm through with gangs. Word up. I mean, in juvie, I had time to do some thinking and some reading.
You know, you're different from everybody else here. I mean, most of the boys I know, they're all crude and immature. I mean, most of the time, they just want to stare at girls' breasts. You know what I mean?
Sorry, what?
Ooh, this is my song.
You want to bust one?
I don't know, we just met.
Come on, it's just an innocent little dance.
Okay.
Hand in hand, they weave through the throng over to a clear space on the dance floor. They stand opposite each other for an instant, then break into a far from innocent little dance. Griff writhes like a snake, whilst Natalie bobs down to his crotch, back up again, then grabs his head and pushes it down towards her groin. She turns round and wiggles her bottom against his crotch. She turns back and they cavort. He picks her up and heaves her up and down. The DJ grins. She turns round again and he pretends to spank her. They drop to the floor. A car draws up outside. Paco gets out and greets Alonzo in two bags.
All right, boys, let's party. Yo, is DeMarco in the house? Beat it.
Paco goes to a limo that's just pulled up. The window opens.
Paco.
What up?
It's a 411 on my ship.
Same as always. Mr. A's restaurant, Friday nights. You bring the cash, we bring the boot. You know the drill.
You tell Mr. A to expect me.
I got you, man. Yeah, I'll do that. Now, if you'll excuse me, I gotta go mingle with my customers. See, real money talks. Let's see if yours does.
Back inside.
I mean, there was a time when I tried all the self-help groups, like Outward Bound and that other one, you know, where a bunch of men sit around a campfire naked, beating drums and abusing themselves. And then I tried drugs, Prozac, Zantac, minoxidil. But in the end, you know what I found worked for me? Dim sum. Whenever I'm feeling overwhelmed by life, I just head to Chinatown.
Yo, Mr. Clark, Paco and his boys heading up in here. You want us to serve them fools?
Look, Anthony, instead of using your fists, try using this.
Hey, button.
Never mind. All right, just pick a window and guard it.
Richard, you're not really going to try and stop Paco and his gang from coming in, are you? They come to all the dances.
Well, not anymore.
But what if they got guns and knives and everything?
Who'd bring guns and knives to a dance?
The gang guiltily tucked their hands in their jackets.
Well, in that case, maybe we better call the police.
Oh, wait. The last time they tried that, four people ended up in the hospital.
Yeah. I can see your point. Well, we can't have kids going to the hospital.
Who said anything about kids? The cops were beaten senseless.
The gang looked pleased with themselves.
Right. You take care of the music. Anthony, you and your guys, you come with me.
Sure, let's go.
Richard leads the gang to the doorway, where Paco and his posse are waiting.
Say, nice leather jacket. Men's Warehouse?
Shut up, Teach. We're coming in, so stand aside.
Not this time, gentlemen. This dance is for Barry students only. We're not gonna have any gangs inside our school.
Who's gonna stop us?
My gang. We already up inside the school.
You call them bunch of pussies a gang?
Hey, look, Paco. If you're interested in coming back to school and working toward a career...
Shut up. Now, are you gonna move aside? Or am I gonna have to turn your eyebrows into a mustache?
Paco! Why don't you chill out, man?
Stay out of this, Griff. Yo, since when you been down with OPP?
What you tripping about?
You with my girl.
I'm not your girl, Paco.
Since when?
We went on one date. And if I had known you were gonna rob that liquor store, trust me, I never would have gone.
Yeah, well, no one got hurt, did they?
Yeah, only because the clerk was wearing a bulletproof turban.
All right, that's enough.
All right, fine. I don't want you anyway, you super freak.
You're a real jag-off, you know that?
The gangs lunge at each other.
It's enough, I mean it. Look, we're all civilized human beings here. Certainly we can come up with a compromise.
All right, I just got some fresh wheels. How about a chicky run?
You know, you're a real idiot,
there.
You know.
That's good. Chicky run. Now, isn't that better than fighting? Okay, everybody, let's go back to dancing. And we'll see you in, what?
10 minutes. Next block.
See you in the block.
Thanks, pal.
The hall empties. Victoria scampers up behind Richard.
See? There's always an intelligent way to solve our differences.
My God, Richard, do you have any idea what you've just done?
On a wasteland, two cars stand ready for the chicken run. One's a stolen pizza delivery car. Paco chucks the driver out.
Get lost, punk!
Griff climbs into the other car. He rubs his hands together, psyching himself up. Paco climbs into his hot motor.
All right! First one to jump out of the car before the edge of the cliff loses. Now remember, no ramming, no swerving, and absolutely no use of brakes at any time. All right, listen up, guys. Here's the deal. When I drop this scarf, you boys are gonna go. No jumping the gun. Ready?
Natalie writhes erotically with the scarf, much to the boys' distraction.
Set.
She drops the scarf. Pauses, then opens her eyes to see the boys hanging out of their car windows, gaping at her, steaming with lust.
Go!
The cars tear away, leaving behind a trail of dust. The crowd scrambles after them. Griff glances over at Paco. Paco lights a cigarette nonchalantly, though with some difficulty. Richard and Victoria pull up in Victoria's car.
Richard, just promise me you'll be careful. Remember, some things are irreplaceable.
Irreplaceable? Nothing's gonna happen to me.
He speeds off, leaving Victoria behind.
I was talking about my car!
Griff and Paco are neck and neck. Richard zooms up behind them. He looks at the number plate of Griff's car. Heart to teach.
Hey!
Richard speeds up between them.
Griff! Paco! Listen to me, boys! Going fast never solved anything! This is no way to resolve a dispute! We can work this mess out! Why don't you both get out of your cars right now, and we'll settle this in an adult manner! Like a fist fight!
Griff and Paco hurl themselves out and roll over on the ground. Richard's car is sandwiched between the two speeding cars.
Yeah, that's better.
Richard's face falls as he sees the rapidly approaching cliff ahead. He slams on the brakes, but his front bumper gets stuck on the two runaway cars flanking him. He tries his door but can't open it. He tries the passenger door, but no luck. He unclips the roof and holds onto it for dear life as it lifts him high into the air. Far below him, the cars plummet over the cliff into the industrial plant below. The crowd peeps over the edge, just as Richard clambers up.
Nobody panic. I'm okay.
Now here's the tip. Nobody has to know about this. It's our little secret.
A towering inferno explodes behind him. The crowd gasps. Richard turns round, the seat of his trousers is burnt away, and his bare bottom sizzles in the night air. Now, a TV news report.
Firefighters from all over Southern California are still trying to contain the flames that have blackened over 200 acres and caused several blocks of homes to be evacuated. The charred remains of three cars were found in the rubble. One, a classic Corvette, has been described by experts as being irreplaceable.
In the principal's office.
Well, I think we've heard enough bad news for one day.
What we've been hearing are rumors that some of our students may have been involved in this fire. And very possibly a teacher. Now, you wouldn't know anything about that, would you, Mr. Clark?
No.
You know, Clark, I've been thinking that maybe we got off on the wrong foot. I happen to be a woman who has strong opinions about how this place should be run. It's just possible that you and I don't see eye to eye on our philosophies of education. I've always been a woman of few words. No miracles. Dumping ground.
I'll need more words than that, ma'am.
Richard pulls a loose thread on her skirt, and as she walks and talks, her skirt unravels.
Our primary job here is to warehouse these delinquents until such time as they can be released into the general population.
He gathers up the thread and tosses the ball into the electric fan, so the skirt continues to unravel until it's virtually gone.
I know what works, Mr. Clark. I know what to expect from these kids, and they know what to expect from me. Now, my hope is that you can fit into the pattern here at Barry.
I guess I should get to class. Well, I've certainly enjoyed our chat, and I will take everything you said to heart.
Clark!
Mr. Clark.
Hey, yo.
Chicky run, man.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, Mr. Clark, he was smoking last night, man.
Thanks, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Man!
A boy gives him a ritual handshake, a girl flowers.
For you, Mr. Clark.
Richard, you forgot your briefcase.
Oh, sweet. Is that for me?
Sorry about your car.
Oh.
Alonzo gets a can of liquor from a vending machine.
I go myself.
He offers some to Paco, who glares at Richard and Victoria. Richard charges into his classroom to the mesh cage in front of his desk.
All right, I want everyone to take their...
Everyone's sitting.
Seat. Now, today, I'd like to talk about...
He whips round instinctively, but no need.
All right, well, guess I won't need this anymore.
He removes the mesh fence.
Well, let's begin, shall we? Now, yesterday, I was about to start with the Bill of Rights and what they mean to all of us. Who can tell me about the Founding Fathers and their doctrine?
Griff puts his Walkman back on, and the class disintegrates with the usual disorder. Richard sighs disconsolately. Outside, students dress the statue up with a gun and a tracksuit top. Others hang a teacher upside down out of a window. A career day.
Please, this is Principal Doyle welcoming you once again to Barry High's weekly career day. All the companies represented here have been handpicked by me.
Griff stops by the Burger Hut stall. Paco, Alonzo, and Two Bags advance.
Yo, what's up, man? I see you got a bright future ahead of you.
You wouldn't understand, Paco. I'm trying to help my family.
See now, This is the shit that's gonna feed your family, not some rinky-dink job.
Yeah,
go ahead, man. I'm sure you could use it.
See, I got a big deal going down here with DeMarco, Mr. A's restaurant. You remember the zip code, right?
Yeah.
I need a good mule. Are you up for it?
Man, I can't even think about that right now.
Who's asking you to think? Ask Eliza here. Thinking hurts.
With a motorized blower, a cleaner blows away the mounds of rubbish cluttering the corridor. Covering her nose, Victoria approaches Richard's classroom.
Richard! Hello?
Frowning, she walks on and looks at her watch. A figure in a balaclava emerges from a doorway and creeps after her. Richard wanders up some stairs and comes across a woman's shoe discarded on the floor. He picks it up, then spots Victoria's cardigan a few feet on. In the library, the balaclavaed figure tussles with Victoria.
You better tell your boyfriend this is only the beginning. You better back off!
Get your hands off of me!
Come on, I know you want this. I read Mike Tyson's book.
She kicks and bites him, finds a deterrent spray in her handbag and squirts it in his face. Paco removes his balaclava. Richard peers through the glass-paned door to see Paco and Victoria struggling desperately. He tries the locked door and shouts to a youth trying to open a locker in the corridor.
Javier, come quick! And bring your tools!
She tosses a model solar system into Paco's face and fires a staple gun at him. Paco dances a painful jig. Richard gets into the room.
Don't worry, Victoria, I'm here!
Victoria wields an index card drawer.
Let me handle this!
He clouts Victoria. Paco punches her. Richard's head meets Paco's chin. Richard sheds his jacket.
Here, put this on.
Hey!
He throws it over Victoria's head, and she collides with a bookcase. Richard throws Paco to the floor, on top of Victoria.
Animal!
Get off of her!
He drags Paco up, throws him against a bookcase, and helps Victoria to a chair.
Here, sit down.
Paco pulls a knife. Richard pulls Victoria's chair away from under her and throws it at him. The knife lands on a picture of Bob Dole. Paco throttles Richard. As Victoria picks herself up, Richard accidentally kicks her in the face. Richard picks up a book stamper and covers Paco's face with overdue. Richard gets him in a vice-like grip and punches him in the stomach. Paco returns his gut thumps, and Victoria hangs face down in the fish tank. Richard throws Paco onto a trolley and he rolls him at speed towards the window. Richard rushes to the window to see Paco wriggling on the ground about a foot below in the spray of a sprinkler. He gets up and scarpers. Richard goes to Victoria.
Victoria!
No, 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 stay away from me!
It's okay, it's me.
I know!
What the hell's going on here?
I was attacked.
Dressed like that, what do you expect? And alone with him.
It wasn't just me, there were three of us.
Oh, that makes it all better.
No, no. I was wrestling with the other guy. He was trying to have sex with her.
I don't care what your arrangement was or how it went wrong. Now you listen to me, Clark. Either you shape up or I'll bounce you out of here faster than a homo at Fort Dix.
At his house, Richard sits beside Victoria, who holds an ice pack on her head.
Does it hurt here?
Oh, a little.
Just above the right breast.
And here?
Lower down.
How about here?
I can't feel your hand.
It's because I'm touching myself.
She glares at him.
I better get you something to wear. You have a t-shirt around here anywhere?
Top drawer.
Oh.
She bends down, he opens the drawer, and knocks her out cold.
Oh. Here we are. Oh, poor thing, you must be exhausted. Let me loosen that bra and get you some air.
Richard?
Victoria, I'm sorry about all this. It's all my fault. But if they think by attacking you they can scare me off, they're nuts. They can attack you all they want. I'm gonna get through to these kids. Oh, sure, getting them to come to class, it's a small victory. But it isn't enough.
Well, Richard, they have to want to learn.
That's exactly my point. And I think Griff is the key. He seems to be a leader. Now, if I could just reach him, I could get through to the others, and then maybe...
You have to be careful. If you raise their expectations, their hopes, and their dreams, and then you fail...
It's worth the risk.
These are all basically good kids. They deserve the same experiences that we all had in high school. Dating, going to proms, and begging for sex.
Richard, you have to trust me on this one. I'm your friend. I'm more than a friend.
Wait, to me?
Yes. Why not?
Well, no one who's ever looked like you has ever looked at me.
That's their loss.
She leans forward to kiss him.
You know, I've never been very good at relationships. In fact, most of mine always ended with, you know, hey, what are you doing in bed with that other woman? And that was me talking. Victoria, I do find you very attractive.
They kiss, but he pulls away.
What's wrong?
I'm scared.
It's okay, you can be on top.
No, it isn't that. Trouble just seems to follow me around. Everywhere I go, there's always someone looking to bust my balls.
Oh, don't worry, Richard. Your balls are safe with me.
His eyebrows shoot up. Richard and Victoria fall back on the bed, kissing passionately. She claps her hands. The lights go out.
My God, you're a virgin.
No, I still have my panties on.
I still can't.
Richard, I'm over here.
Richard travels on the inner city bus at night. He gazes disbelievingly at the shops lining the streets. Bail bonds, guns and ammo, and liquor are the stock in trade. Richard leans over to the driver.
Driver, and the next stop.
Forget it, pal. We don't stop in this neighborhood.
Richard leaps out of the still moving bus and rolls over the road into the gutter. He peels himself off the tarmac. He sees Griff heading towards a strip joint.
Griff!
Griff enters the joint.
Thanks, Sam.
A scantily clad waitress carries a drink from the bar over to Griff sitting by the stage.
Here's your collar, Griff.
Richard comes over and a stripper cavorts in front of him as he talks.
Griff?
Mr. Clark.
What are you doing here?
I live here.
Well, I realize a lot of these men do, but you can get help with this, son.
No. I mean, my mom and I live in an apartment upstairs.
Oh. Well, listen, Griff. The reason I came here is because I sense that you want to make something of yourself.
And if you help me, we can turn the school around.
Why me, man? I'm about to get somebody else. Who do you think's watching my little brothers and sisters when my mom's just working? I'm all they got.
You remind me a lot of myself when I was your age. Except I was white, and I had both parents, and lived in the suburbs, and I didn't have any brothers or sisters. Maybe you remind me of somebody else. Hey, Griff, don't you have a dream?
You wouldn't be interested, man.
Well, sure I would. Tell me.
I promise you won't tell anyone.
You have my word.
Griff whispers in Richard's ear.
College? You gotta be... I'm sorry. Listen, Griff, I'll make you a deal. You help me get these kids to learn, and I promise you, I will do everything in my power to get you into college.
Don't try to play me, Mr. Clark. I've been promised stuff before that hasn't come true. I'm saying, where would I get the money for college from?
You ever hear of scholarships?
Yeah.
Well, you probably won't get any of those. But there are plenty of other ways, I promise you. Don't just take my word for it, all right? You go home, you talk it over with your mother. I'm sure she'll agree with me. Here.
He writes, this is your chance, and his number.
Listen, Griff. You don't have to live in a community infested with crimes and drugs and gangs. You don't have to end up in some sleazy bar with a bunch of washed-up bums watching some over-the-hill stripper expose herself for a few measly dollars in her G-string.
The stripper punches him off his stool. At school, Richard writes academic proficiency test on the blackboard.
Okay. Now, in the next 6 weeks, I'm going to try and cram as much knowledge into your brains as is humanly possible. Or as space will allow. Now, this is your textbook for the semester. They open like this. Now, all of you try it.
The class glance uncertainly back at Griff. Richard and Griff fix each other's gaze. Richard holds his open book up with hope in his eyes. Eventually, Griff picks up his book and opens it. Richard looks excitedly round the room. The students turn back to their desks, pick up their books and finger them like monkeys discovering a new toy.
Right, let's get to work. I think we should start with some basic English. Now, who can give me a complete sentence?
Paco.
Whack punk, you'll be going down the hard way.
All right, that's a good sentence. Let's examine that. Yo, the common colloquial greeting, comma, you whack punk, you be going. This is just bad syntax. All right, who can give me another sentence? Julie?
I think my water broke.
Good.
Richard spins round. Julie nods to confirm. In the corridor, two yobs graffiti a wall. They round a corner to find Richard's class repainting the lockers.
What's the capital of Nebraska?
Lincoln.
Right. Who freed the slaves?
Lincoln.
Right. Charles Keating cooked the books of what SNL?
Lincoln.
Yes. Who makes the best town car?
Cadillac.
No. Amazing! Now we're getting somewhere.
In the schoolyard, students plant trees. One drops his tree into the hole his friends just dug, and it falls right through.
Oops. You and three of your G's are on someone else's turf. You're cruising along in your fly ride about 20 miles per. There's a posse of eight homies just sitting in front of their crib. They're just chilling on the porch, playing some fresh jams.
Well, who they got on the box?
I think they're riffing with tag team, maybe some nice Snoop, Biggie, Junior Mafia, whatever. They decide that they want to throw down. So you and your boys, you pile out of your hoopty for the face-off. Now, they have six baseball bats and two chains. You have three brass knuckles and two sawed-off pool cues, you know, Jimmy sticks? Yeah. Now, what I want to know is, what is the ratio of metal weapons to wooden ones?
The class diligently set about their task. Then their hands shoot up.
Here, Mr. Clark,
Anthony takes a peek over the shoulder of his classmate in front and then puts his hand up. Richard sighs with great satisfaction. Miss Doyle stands at the back of the class, arms folded resentfully. Now Richard joins the students in redecorating the line of shops. People at the bus stop get ready to jump onto the bus whilst it's still moving. One just about makes it, but the others are left dashing after it. Back at the classroom...
Okay, pop quiz. Who was the first president to use the telephone?
Oh,
Anthony.
Nixon.
No. Griff?
Garfield.
Yes. First president to be on television.
Oh,
Anthony.
Johnny Carson.
No, he was never president. Natalie.
Eisenhower.
Yes. Who was the last president to blow chunks in a Japanese head of state?
Oh,
Anthony.
Bush?
Yes!
Yeah. Anthony does a little dance. Miss Doyle emerges into the corridor, which is neat, clean, and lined with pot plants.
Good day, Miss Doyle.
One student hands her an apple, others smile politely.
Morning, Miss Doyle.
Miss Doyle fumes as she observes the peaceful harmony.
You look bad, Miss Doyle.
Out in the street, the gun and liquor stores are decorated with greenery and flowers. One man joins the queue to leap aboard the oncoming bus. To their amazement, the bus stops for them. A teacher staggers into Miss Doyle's office. He's dirty and bedraggled.
Mr. Arnott? Where have you been?
They released me.
Everyone, state law prohibits Mr. Clark from being here today, so he's at home. Probably a little nervous, but I'm sure rooting for all of you. All right, here we go. The academic proficiency test. You have 8 hours in which to complete this exam. Good luck to all of you. Begin work now.
The class gets cracking. Anthony scratches his head. At Richard's house, the TV's on the shopping channel.
Every day, people are discovering just how fun and easy it is to get a precision layered haircut with the incredible Flowbee Precision Haircutting System.
Richard's using the advertised product, a glorified vacuum cleaner which gets stuck to his face. In the classroom, the students work diligently. Back at his house, Richard yanks the suction nozzle off his face onto his groin. In the classroom, Natalie ponders. Anthony snickers to himself. Richard uses another TV purchase, a stretching device, a glorified catapult, which he fires off the end of his foot. Anthony grins smugly as he writes. Victoria paces the classroom. Julie holds her newborn baby as she works. Paco and Alonso peer in through the door. Anthony races through the questions, then stops, realizing something. He turns the paper the right way up. Richard holds another purchase, the scrotum isolator. He applies its rapidly flexing robotic fingers to his lower regions. His eyelids flicker, a smile spreads across his face, and he wobbles about in evident pleasure. Victoria looks at her watch.
All right, time's up. Come on, time's up. Close your booklets. I'm sure you all did very well. Scores will be posted the end of this week.
Griff hugs Natalie. That evening, they stroll past the booze store, now also a bookstore.
So how do you think you did on the test?
Fine. I don't know. For the first time in my life, I feel like I did something right.
Me too.
Oh, check this out.
What is it?
It's my future. Remember that college I was telling you about?
Yeah.
Well, they wrote me back yesterday.
Yeah?
Now I feel like I got a real chance to get in. Guess I owe a lot to Mr. Clark, huh?
Yeah, you know, I think all the kids pretty much feel the same way. I mean, think about it. We could both end up at the same school together. Oh, Griff, this is the happiest I ever remember being. It's the first time in my life I haven't prayed for a gas line to rupture into my building while I was smoking.
Natalie, I'm glad you're happy. Come on, there's something I want you to see.
The strip joint.
Mr. Clark has taken this place on as a special project.
Fie, my lord, fie. Out, damn spot. Out, I say. Line.
Who would have thought the old man to have so much blood?
Who would have thought the old man to have so much blood in him?
As the stripper-turned-actress flashes her long legs, the regular strip joint punters applaud and pop money down the front of her Elizabethan frock. In the deserted school that night, two figures open up a safe.
All right, hustle up, man. Come on, hurry up.
They take out the test papers.
Yeah, sweet.
And replace them with others.
This ought to take care of our little problem. Let's get out of here, Paco.
The next day in Barry High, now a beautifully well-kept haven of tranquility, a trio of singers serenade Victoria and Miss Doyle in the corridor.
Hey, give it a rest!
So hey everyone, I just want to say before the test scores arrive that I am so proud of all of you.
The class looks sheepish. As Victoria and Miss Doyle enter the room, they all leap to their feet.
Well,
as I expected, every student in this class failed.
What?
Lowest scores in the country.
Well, there must be some mistake.
That's right. And you're it. See for yourself, figures don't lie. We're not dealing with Rhodes Scholars here.
It's time I just accepted what I am and get on with my life.
Griff throws at Richard.
No, Griff, wait.
His scholarship letter.
See what you've done? I told you to leave them at the bottom of the barrel where they belong.
Griff, wait.
Consider yourself terminated as of right now.
Natalie, wait.
Jackie, wait! Wait, Miss Doyle, you're making a huge mistake. Mr. Clark has helped this school. He's a good teacher. And I'm not just saying that because we slept together.
Richard's as amazed as the class.
Clean out your desk by the end of the day.
Miss Doyle turns on her heel and leaves. Victoria looks dismayed at Richard, who glances forlornly at his class before shuffling towards the door. Victoria stops him.
Richard, wait.
No. You were right all along. I didn't know what I was getting into with these kids.
He leaves.
No, Richard!
The class begins to break up.
I'm out of here.
What's wrong with all of you? Have you forgotten how much Mr. Clark has helped us? You! You had a D average before Mr. Clark started tutoring you. Now you're on the honor roll. And this boy, everyone thought he had Tourette's syndrome until Mr. Clark discovered he was a Hindu exchange student.
Richard exits the school building to face the pouring rain and the furious rabble of students and teachers shaking their fists and pointing accusatory fingers. Placards read, "Clark's a fraud." One woman holds up a cake decorated with the word, "Loser." The abusive school librarian's there.
You suck!
Mr. Arnott is there too.
You can come back! Look at me! I'm living proof!
The drama teacher.
Call me.
Victoria emerges.
Richard! Richard, wait! Richard!
The pouring rain is actually an isolated shower that follows Richard as he walks away from the crowd. Now, Victoria pins up a police bulletin concerning Mr. Arnott, who's been kidnapped again.
I tell you, I'm really worried about Richard. I've been calling his house for the past 3 days, and I keep getting the same message. Hi, I'm not here, and I may never be again. Julie?
Julie goes up to a tearful Natalie.
Hey, Nat. Are you okay?
I'm afraid Griff's gonna join Paco's gang.
Yo,
check this out. Word on the street is Paco and his little punk dog slid those medals we took.
Huh?
What I'm saying is they switched the test. That's why everybody flunked. Well, you know, you guys, I probably didn't need no help.
Oh my God, this is awful.
Then we just gotta find Mr. Clark.
Yeah, but where? Where do you find a man that depressed? Wait a minute. Dim sum. Chinatown. Come on.
Victoria, Natalie, Anthony, and Julie in Chinatown.
Okay, this is it. Julie, Natalie. Why don't you two head down that way?
Okay.
And for me, go down to the south end of the block, and I'll go down this way.
Victoria walks down a sordid, rat-infested side street.
Oh, please let this be the one.
She skips up steps to the dim sum palace. Inside, raucous crowds waving banknotes gather round a table, where Richard and a Chinese man, in red bandanas, play Russian roulette. A referee places a gun on the table between them. His face drained of any trace of emotion, Richard raises the gun to his head. He fires in the air and hits a light, which falls on the referee's head.
Richard, what are you trying to do to yourself? Richard, snap out of it. Don't you recognize me? No, it's me.
She kisses him. Realization dawns over his face.
Father O'Flannery?
The referee gets up, pushes Victoria aside, and starts to throttle Richard. The referee's face blurs away as a Chinese waiter wakes Richard from his dream.
Mister! You okay? Mister! You okay? This girl over there, she asked about you. Come, now.
Oh, Richard, thank God.
Victoria?
I've been looking everywhere for you. I didn't know you drank.
I drank? I thought it was just my pet gorilla here.
A Chinese lady.
Richard, how many fingers?
Richard's safe in the car with his students.
Come on, Mr. Clark, snap out of it. We gotta get Griff out of that drug deal.
Maybe we should just let the cops handle this.
Well, that would be fine if I didn't mind waiting 20 years to see Griff again.
All right, now don't worry. I'll just go in and get him.
Yo, Mr. Clark, you can't just go in there and be like, okay, Griff, we're going home. Else you gonna be going home in a box. The only way we gonna get Griff out of there is you got to show up in the back room with the cash. You got the cash, you the man.
Where am I gonna get the cash?
Man, DeMarco gonna be there. What you think he carry in his briefcase? Food stamps? Your job is to make his cash your cash.
They bounce off down the road. In Mr. A's restaurant, DeMarco's henchman brings a briefcase of money to his boss, seated at a table.
Did you get it?
It's all in there.
The briefcase contains stacks of cash and a gun.
Good. We just got time to eat.
The car stops outside the restaurant.
All right, everybody, wait here. Oh. I'll handle this.
If you're not out in 20 minutes, me and my G's is coming in out straight up. Go in there and represent, Mr. Clark. You can do it.
You can do this. I can do this.
Richard turns back, but Victoria stops him.
What are you doing here?
I'm here to help you. Richard, if anything happens, I want to be here with you.
Thanks.
they look around the restaurant.
How are we going to know which one's DeMarco?
We'll just take a wild guess.
Where?
Come on.
In a back room, Paco idly bounces a blue ball. Griff pulls out Richard's phone number.
Someday, you will be the world's leader.
You suck!
Griff gets to his feet.
Where are you going?
It's a mistake, man. Can't do this.
I thought we settled this, Griffy boy. You better decide right now. You in or out? I ain't asking again.
Define in or out.
In, you're with us. And out, you're dead.
Works for me.
Richard and Victoria enter the laundry and don some wet waiter uniforms from the washing machine. Back at DeMarco's table...
Where the hell's our waiter?
Good evening, gentlemen. And welcome to Mr. A's fine dining establishment. I'm Zach. I'll be your waiter this evening, and this is my trainee, Paula. I'm an Aries. I enjoy water sports and dancing. And my hobbies are origami...
Enough small talk. Just bring us two thick T-bones.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And would you like those with or without the bones?
They spot the briefcase.
And a couple of glasses of water.
All right. Well, let me tell you about our water, then. It comes from the Los Angeles Aqueduct, where it flows down a lovely cement channel on a bed
of... I don't care where it came from. Just bring it to us.
Dad, it's his birthday. Would anyone care for some desserts this evening?
Look, you little weasel. Just bring us what we asked for. Unless you want me to stick this breadstick up your ass.
Sure, it would taste better if you didn't.
The henchman grabs Richard.
You might want to try buttering it first.
As Richard's lifted off the ground, he hooks the briefcase on his foot and drops it on the dessert trolley. A bunch of birthday greeting singers have advanced.
It's your birthday, it's your birthday. There's no use pretending.
Richard and Victoria wheel the trolley into the kitchen.
Come on! We've got to change disguises!
Richard grabs random utensils off a shelf as jewellery. Victoria rips her dress into a scanty, sexy little number. She looks up at the astonished Richard.
Are you ready?
Yep. Unfortunately, we got this other thing we gotta do first. Let's see what's in this thing. Oh, Jesus!
He takes out the gun.
Hurry!
And pops it into a full oven dish.
Got it. Oh!
The dish is placed in a microwave. Richard and Victoria race clumsily through the kitchen and are brought short by a blonde, ponytailed heavy.
Now what do you want?
I'm here to see Mr. A.
And who the hell are you?
I'm Mr. B. Mr. D couldn't make it. He's out with Mr. C.
Victoria nods. Richard smiles.
You're early.
The heavy searches Richard for weapons, then gestures for them to follow him. In the back room, Alonzo and Two Bags listen to music on Walkmans. They bob and vogue to the funky beat.
DeMarco's early.
Say what? You?
Mr. Clark? Miss Chapel, what are you doing here?
Hey, no need to be so formal, boys. We're not in school anymore.
2 seconds, you're gonna be one dead teacher. How's that for formal?
No, we work for DeMarco, buying and selling drugs. Reality, we're low-life scumbags, just like you.
What are you talking about?
Well, what better cover than a teacher and a secretary?
Administrative assistant.
Yes, all right. All right, enough of the small talk. I got business with Mr. A. Where is he?
I'm right here.
Miss Doyle steps forward out of the shadows.
Clark?
Miss Doyle?
Around here they call me Mr. A.
Mister?
I inherited the business from my late husband.
Well, I'm shocked.
What? That a woman can run a business?
No, that you were ever married. All right. Let's do it.
What exactly is she doing here?
She's my bitch.
Miss Doyle and Victoria scowl at Richard.
Well, my significant other. We've been slapping skins for quite some time now.
You say you work for DeMarco. Why should I believe you?
Why would I have his briefcase unless I was working for him?
That doesn't prove anything. You could have seen him down in the restaurant, dressed up like a waiter, created some kind of diversion while she snatched it from under the table.
That's a little far-fetched, don't you think?
Wait a minute. Think about it. You think he's capable of all that?
Another body search.
All right. Hey, what's the big idea?
You work out.
All right, knock it off.
I say we off him now, and then do what we want with their bodies.
Ooh, easy, Paco. Easy. So, you like getting high, Clark?
Who doesn't?
Then perhaps you'd like to sample the finest crank in town.
Sure. Load me up a spike. Let's get this party in the gear.
Paco checks Richard's arm.
Look, man, he's clean. No tracks. I take mine in the ass.
The heavy is titillated. The rest of the room just confused.
Got used to it as a kid. Shots!
You're starting to piss me off, man. Maybe you don't have enough holes in your head already?
Excuse me. Something seems to be riding up here.
Richard slips Paco's ball under his arm.
What's going on there? Nothing I know rides up that high.
Here. Tie off.
Richard wraps the long elastic band round his arm. It whips up and smacks Paco in the forehead, producing a nasty bump.
Oh, you really should have someone look at that. It could be malignant.
Quit stalling. We don't want to be here all night.
Well, here's looking at you, kid.
Richard takes the needle and injects it, unnoticed, into the ball under his arm. Faked, drug-induced ecstasy creeps over his face, and he tosses the needle away.
Whoa! All this shit be kicking! Man, I've wasted off my ass and you're still ugly.
The heavy races out of the room to check out the gunshots outside. Richard flings the ball against the wall and it bounces back into his mouth. As Miss Doyle turns to him, he swallows it. The heavy returns.
False alarm. Some idiot put a gun in the microwave.
Good stuff, huh? So what have you got to say for yourself?
Nothing, really. Except it's going to be an interesting morning tomorrow after my coffee. Need at least 2 magazines.
Miss Doyle turns to the briefcase.
So it's all here?
As far as you know.
$500,000?
Really? Yes, down to the penny. Now I'll just take my stuff and be on my way.
Wait here.
She leaves the room, gesturing Paco and the blonde heavy to follow her. The moment they're gone, Alonzo and Two Bags open up Parenting and Country Living magazines. Richard and Victoria go to Griff on the sofa and lean over to talk to him.
Griff, you gotta get out of here. You're throwing your life away messing around with these drug dealers.
Look who's talking.
No, he's not a real drug dealer. He's just pretending. He's here to save you.
You risked your life to come here for me?
Yeah, of course I did. Well, not the risking my life part. Anyway, look, Paco switched the test and the police are probably already on their way. You gotta get out of here before the...
DeMarco bursts in.
It's the waiter and his trainee.
Yeah, where the hell's our dinner?
You jughead. They're the ones who stole our briefcase.
DeMarco, what's going on?
Is this your idea of a straight deal?
We thought Clark was your guy.
I've never seen him before tonight.
Everyone pulls out their guns. A Mexican standoff. The heavy frisks Richard again.
Hey, another one of these. One of us is going to have an orgasm.
Clark, you never should have messed with me. I don't want him found.
No problem.
DeMarco picks up a chainsaw. Two Bags grabs Richard and Victoria and hustles them towards the meat fridge.
No!
Come on, G's, they down this way!
Yeah, right. Come on, you guys!
In the house!
Anthony and his posse storm in and a fight ensues. Miss Doyle heads for the door.
She's getting away! Stop her!
Paco pulls a knife on Victoria.
Seems to me we've got some unfinished business.
Well, you're forgetting a couple of things, aren't you?
Oh yeah, what's that?
Richard's not here to help you this time.
And?
I have a frozen pig's foot.
Victoria clobbers Paco with a frozen joint of meat. DeMarco advances on her with the chainsaw. Griff intervenes. DeMarco swings for him. He sticks the chainsaw into the wall. Griff punches him. Anthony clings onto the heavy shoulders. He throws him off, but Anthony shoves him so that he bangs his head on all the overhanging frying pans and collapses. Anthony does a little dance. Richard chases Miss Doyle into a banquet room where a Women's Self-Defense Awards is in progress. They burst onto the stage, Richard with his arm round Miss Doyle's neck.
I am woman, hear me roar. In numbers too big to ignore. And I know too much to go back down.
They rise and glare at Richard. He notices the Never Be Helpless Again poster with a picture of a man attacking a woman in the same posture as him and Miss Doyle.
Come on! Come on!
Look! There's a bigger man! And he's got a gun! Ooh.
They turn on DeMarco's henchmen. One lady kickboxes his gun away. Miss Doyle slips off. Richard gives chase. The henchman's confronted by a muscular woman. Miss Doyle marches into the dining room, followed by Richard, who launches himself at the grey-haired lady in front of him, throwing her onto a table. He looks up and sees Miss Doyle standing over him. She walks off, barges a waiter, and drops the briefcase.
Christ!
Sorry.
The grey-haired lady is Miss Wells.
This was a new suit, Pickle Dick.
She punches Richard. The ball flies out of his mouth into hers, and she staggers off. Miss Doyle bundles the cash back into the case. Richard approaches her, and she points her gun at him.
Get back! What are you fossils staring at? Eat your vegetables!
The man at the nearby table shovels his veg into his mouth. Griff leads his posse into the restaurant. Natalie and Julie head a posse entering through the other door.
Get back! I'm gonna walk out of here. You punks, get out of the way! I'm gonna count to three, and if you're not moving, I'm gonna start shooting!
Do what she says, kid.
Chill, Mr. Clark. She ain't shooting nothing but the breeze.
You kids are even bigger boneheads than I thought you were. And everybody knows it, too, except for this fool.
You know, Miss Doyle, that's just what you and people like you want everyone to think, isn't it? That somehow, no matter what goes down, we just can't cut it. You use that as an excuse to hold us back. But Mr. Clark showed us that there is another way.
Another way to flunk.
Think we failed that test? Yo, listen up. If X is 17 plus the square root of 4 minus 6, what's X?
13. Yes.
Famous Russian author of the Brothers Karamazov.
Who is Dostoevsky?
The Gadsden Purchase formed parts of what two states?
Arizona and New Mexico.
All right, I'll shoot him.
What's the capital of Ecuador?
Quito.
Back off, I mean it.
NASA's Apollo program ended what year?
1975.
Stay away from me.
Who was responsible for the first moonwalk?
Michael Jackson.
Everyone looks baffled.
No, I'm just playing, man. It was Louis Armstrong's brother, Neil.
What group is responsible for the consumption of the most donuts in Los Angeles?
Police!
Right.
Nobody move! Get your hands up!
This isn't what it looks like.
Say hello to Mr. A.
So this is Mr. A. We've been looking for him for years. You're under arrest, fella.
Hey, partner. It's about 5 more gangster pops in the freezer.
Who's her, man? She masterminded the whole thing. I'll testify in court. She's Mr. A.
We know.
Oh, look, could I borrow your coat? I can't feel my legs. Come on, let me go, man. I'll give you 50 grand.
Well, Miss Doyle, I guess we just got off on the wrong foot. No hard feelings.
He hugs her.
Wonderbra?
She lunges at him.
I swear to God, Clark, when I get out, I'm gonna hunt you down and beat you like a circus monkey.
Oh, by the way, happy birthday.
It's your birthday, it's your birthday.
The cops lead her out, and the birthday singers follow. Anthony and Griff high five and hug. Victoria embraces Richard. Miss Wells, the butch gym teacher, sits at a table reeling. Graduation day.
And now to present the diplomas, Principal Pro Tem Richard C. Clark. Will the graduates please rise and begin filing on
stage? I never thought I'd say this, but I was wrong about you, son. I can't believe what you've accomplished here.
He offers his hand.
Thanks, Dad.
Richard gives his dad's hand a squeeze and steps up to the lectern.
Call your name. Please step forward to receive your diploma. Anthony Jefferson.
Anthony steps up, takes his certificate from Victoria, and does a ritual handshake with Richard.
Julie Rubel.
Julie comes up, carrying her newborn baby.
There's money.
Ahmed Duvdel. Natalie Thompson.
And the valedictorian of our class with a 2.35 GPA, Griff McReynolds.
Griff comes up to the stage and receives his certificate. Beaming delightedly, he shakes Richard's hand and throws his arms around him.
Did it, buddy.
Way to go, Griff! That's my boy!
That's my boy.
Richard's mother, the spitting image of her son, smiles and waves.
For you, Griff!
Griff smiles bashfully and walks off. Richard takes to the lectern.
For all of you who did not make the journey to this stage today, I say to you, work as hard as you can, do a couple of hours of homework each night, and nothing can stop you.
He gives a proud grin, but the audience gawp at him gormlessly. He realizes and waves to the translators.
Ladies and gentlemen, the graduating class of 1996. Graduates, graduate!
The crowd cheers. The graduates stand proudly in their red robes. Richard and Victoria hug. The graduates fling their mortarboards triumphantly in the air, and they sail up into the bright blue sky. ITFC audio description was by Adam English.